Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
All right, John, we're back. It's another Monday.
It's another week of Dune.
Yes. We got some good minutes to talk about. And we are going to kick it off with minute 95 through 96.
Yes. Minute 95. In my notes, I've got a line here that just says, our balls are freshly blued after not talking about Dune for a week, including the worst cliffhanger of all time from last week.
I know. Gosh, it was a lot. But we get all the payoff we were waiting for, really in the first like 20 seconds
yep.
of this minute. So just a little recap before we dive into it. Last week we had Blue Balls, the episode, which was the Baron confronting Leto when Leto is chilling in his chair and Paul unwrapping something in his hand.
We don't know what it is. I mean, we do because we've watched this movie more times than most people ever probably will in their life. But if you're, as we've said many times, insane and listening to this podcast and watching the movie minute by minute for your first time, you don't know what Paul's about to get.
Nope, not a bit. So we get the tail end, like right at the beginning of this minute, we get like the first couple seconds are the tail end of Paul looking down at his hand at whatever he just poured out of the bag.
Yeah.
And then we cut quickly, like within 2 seconds of the minute, we cut to Leto. Looking up very intensely at the Baron.
Yes.
So it's the tail end of that conversation.
Because that's about the only thing that he can do. He's still very paralyzed from the dart toxin.
Yep. So Leto whispers something that I thought was a really cool line. He's looking up at the Baron and he goes, here I am, here I remain.
Mm-hmm.
And right when he says that line, it cuts to Jessica and she looks like she's got the wind knocked out of her.
Well, so I have this in my notes. Here I am is on Leto. Then it cuts to Jessica where she's got her, you know, sad, pensive, you know, look and everything that she does often in this movie. We hear here I remain while it's still on her.
Oh, okay.
And then it cuts. There's a moment and then Leto bites down on the tooth. And then the moment he bites on the tooth, gas starts to escape from his mouth. But before we get talking about the gas.
Yep.
This is something I deliberately held back from talking about last week on Friday's episode because I wanted to wait for the here I am, here I remain part. So just before this, at the end of the last minute, Leto's kind of like mumbling something under his breath.
Yeah.
From the Art and Soul of Dune.
Mm-hmm.
Just a reminder, not sponsored by this by this book. It's just
really, not sponsored, but heavily referenced.
It's really good. I'm just going to read this directly from the book because it's important in here. In Herbert's novel, as well as in the original script, Leto does not say anything before biting down on the gas-filled tooth, ending his own life and attempting to take the Baron with him. But Oscar Isaac felt that the character should deliver parting words to the Baron. There's this line in the, and then he says, there's this line in the book that is described as Leto's final thought, explains the actor. It is, the day the flesh shapes and the flesh the day shapes.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to add another beautiful line from the scene. Here I am and here I remain. Brought those two lines to Denis and he really liked them. The added lines land powerfully as Leto draws his last breath, shedding a tear.
Yep.
So that like even Vladimir's like, huh?
What draws him down initially. Right.
That is the day the flesh shapes and the flesh the day shapes.
Yep.
And I'm sure you had that in your book versus movie comparison section, but I figured since we're talking about that context makes a little more sense. And I'm kind of sad that like that line isn't more prominent in the movie because I think it's cool.
It's a good line. It's a smidge confusing.
Sure.
As a like adage, I guess, or a saying or whatever, but no, it is a good line. In the books he's remembering, like his mind's racing and I will still have some book
as
stuff.
We know minds are tend to do in the moments before death.
Sure.
That's why you have those like flashbacks and shit.
Yeah.
And like you see your life pass before your eyes or whatever. It's because your brain's doing everything it can to like try stay and alive. Not die.
Yeah. And he's just like going through memories with Gurney and with his family,
with the boys.
Yeah, with all this stuff and that the flesh shapes the day, day shapes the flesh, or vice versa, or whatever.
Yeah,
line is something that Gurney told him at some point in the past. And if I'm getting this correctly, he thinks that, and then he is like filled with this like. Overwhelming sense of fulfilledness. Yeah. And that's when he chomps down.
It kind of makes his peace with everything. And then it's like, all right.
Yep. Yep.
Checking out.
So yeah, he crunches down on the tooth. The tooth. He remembered the tooth. He
remembered the tooth.
Yeah.
And he exhales the super ornate little box.
Yeah. Exhales this poison. And I love the visual effects. That the poison gets, it's like it glitches out the screen through a little shield. Bit. Yeah,
yeah.
It's really cool. It's
slow moving enough.
So it's not though. It certainly tries to get through the shield there. If any of it had gotten through, the Baron would have been dead. So I think the shield does a good job of deflecting it for him, but. As people are wont to do in this universe, no one else is wearing the shields.
Nope. and the poison works fast too. I mean, we see just like all the goons just keel over. Piter himself even turns to try and escape and gets a single step in and then just collapses on the ground. Yeah. So, this UA was right. It kills everyone in the room. So,
yeah. They died doing what they loved, gooning.
Oh God!
As the gooners are falling down, some outside goons slam the door shut before any of it can escape.
Yep.
And that presumably the death of everyone in there. I mean, if you're watching this for the first time and don't have any kind of book knowledge, you would assume that everyone in there dies.
Sure.
Yep.
I mean, you saw the red on the Baron's shield, so it had to have killed him, right?
Right.
Right.
Right as that happened and the door shut, we cut back to Paul.
Yep.
And we see what was in the bag and it's in his hand. It's the Ducal Jostin's ring.
The Ducal signet.
Jostin's ring. I realize we've made that joke a few times in the past. And I don't know if that's something that people understand what the Jostin's ring is.
Explain to the people.
So I especially down here in the South, I don't know if this is something that happens at high schools across the country. Maybe it is. But as a senior in high school, you are presented with an opportunity to buy a class ring, much like colleges do.
See
where
that?
It matters. Why would you get one for your high school? I don't know. I never got one.
I feel like it's such a boomer thing. Like
maybe.
I remember growing up, my grandpa had his fucking like class ring or whatever.
But for high school or for college?
High school.
Oh,
he wore it all the fucking time too.
Yeah, I don't
know.
It
had his like birthstone and shit in it and everything. And
I mean, I know a lot of people got them and they look good. They were very well crafted and it's a good looking ring. It's just, I never understood why someone would get it for high school. I completely understand it for college because that's a lot harder, but it's just weird for that. But Jostin's is the company who makes those class rings for people. So they're usually like big, chunky, ornate rings. And that's just what the Ducal ring looks like to me is a Jostin's class ring.
Probably better quality.
I would have to assume. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what he's holding in his hand. And it's a visual way of literally passing the torch, passing the ring from Leto to Paul.
It's also an indication too, that like there is no doubt what this means. And Paul and Jessica both recognize and in their own ways kind of react to the news that was broken to them by a piece of cloth.
Yeah. Well, not in the movies. So in the movies, they don't know that that Leto's dead. In the books, we get definitive, like UA says, by the time you read this, the Duke will be dead.
I think it's safe to assume that Paul and Jessica understand in the movie because you see them both. You see both of their reactions. Paul's is very stoic and then it becomes kind of anger and Jessica's very emotional and she, kind of begins breaking down and and everything. And that's the, to anyone that watches the movie, they would know, because like there would be the last thing that would ever happen is Leto is separated from the ducal signet.
Oh yeah. I'm not saying that they don't know. I'm saying like that it was
no hard confirmation. Like you said, yes, Leto is dead because you're reading this.
They took the show don't tell approach here and they used it very well.
Plays out better in a scene like this where it's like, though I don't know, Paul does say some fucking obvious ass shit in these both last week's and this week's minutes too.
It would not have been out of character if he looked at the ring, looked up at Jessica.
Dad's dead.
Yeah, the Duke is dead, which is what he does in the books. pretty much is what he does in the books.
What was it that he said last week? It's just like, oh God.
Oh, it's some obvious stuff.
They've crippled the ship.
Yeah,
that's what it was. Thanks, Paul.
So, after we get this, we are now staring down the barrel of around 40 seconds of Jessica looking like she got the wind knocked out of her. And Paul fidgeting with the ring.
Which I think is an appropriate reaction to finding out that your lover is all but in name, your husband is dead.
Not a comment on her reaction, just a comment on what's left in the minute. I have here that, like, you know, she can sense Leto's death.
Yeah.
If, you know, effectively, it's like whatever Bene Gesserit, like, extrasensory perception that she has, she can sense it here.
Sure. The minute ends, we cut back to Leto's hand just kind of hanging lifelessly.
Mm-hmm.
We can see that it's daytime now. You know, several hours have passed because we have light coming in to the room. It's that like kind of morning bluish light.
Yeah. Everything's real dark and gray.
Yeah.
That's really it. I'll give a couple of book comparisons that I found for this minute. One definitely was the phrase.
The flesh makes the day and the day makes the flesh.
Yep. What Leto says though, the, you know, here I am, here I remain, is mentioned in the book. But it's not here. It's a toast that he gives at the dinner scene that was cut from the movie or maybe never filmed.
Probably cut.
At least storyboarded out.
Yeah.
It's a toast to all the business people that they've invited to the palace. And everyone thinks he's drunk when he says it, but Jessica's like, no, he's giving him a warning, really. He's giving him like a, hey, don't fuck with me kind of thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was I'm glad it got added in.
And rightly so, because, you know, like, the Atreides are one of the strongest fighting forces in the Imperium. So try me, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. The only other thing that was left out of here was there was an encounter between Paul and Jessica and Duncan, actually in between what we're seeing on screen and what we see in the upcoming minutes.
Yep.
So after they escape from the Harkonnen Ornithopter, I think I mentioned last week that one of the big book differences was Jessica turns around and sees that they're being followed by some other Harkonnen Ornithopters.
Yeah.
So they start to book it, right?
There is no stand on top of a dune, look at the city, look back, look at the city, look back.
Yeah, they just start getting the heck out of there. Turns out that Ornithopter was the one that Duncan stole. And he was coming after them. So he actually intercepted them shortly after they escaped.
Way sooner than he does in the movie.
Yeah. He intercepts them shortly after they escape the guards there, and actually flies them to a, you know, quote unquote safe distance. He tells them that Wormsign had been spotted south of them, so heading in their direction. So the Harkonnen's plan, for all intents and purposes, was going off without a hitch.
I mean, they didn't kill them.
It was all going according to that plan. Duncan came in, swooped up and rescued him, took him to a different spot.
Yeah.
That's where he left them with some more supplies that we see in the tent here. So they have a brief conversation about what he should be doing next. And that's what we'll be getting into later.
Yeah.
So just that little bit. I understand why they didn't include that in. It's not a super move the story forward scene.
I think it also for the movie is more impactful when we see Duncan later on.
Yeah.
It'll be next week, I think, when we see
Duncan. We see him next minute.
No. What I mean with Paul, Jessica.
Oh, yeah.
Duncan. Next,
yeah.
When he finds them in the movie, I think it's more impactful then because it's like, okay, Duncan's been looking.
Yeah. It makes
sure.
Sense.
I look. You gotta like kind of move things on along in a movie like this. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of moving on, we will move on to our ending here. I think that's about all I got for this.
That was quite a transition there, well, but
yes, I'll give it a 5 out of 10.
I'd give that a 4 at best.
Any other notes on your end?
No, I'm just watching the cats fight.
If you'd like to reach out to us, you can get in touch with us on Instagram at The Dune Minute. We are on Twitter at Dune Minute. And you can send us a good old fashioned email at Gmail or DuneMinute@gmail.com.
Yeah.
I have
more grievance to pick with you. You always say you send us an email at Gmail. Motherfucker, it's on Gmail or just through whatever email. DuneMinute@gmail.com.
Okay.
I'm going to fight you. Let's go outside right now. Fight in the street.
John, we've known this for years. That will be a very quick fight. Two hits.
Two hits. I hit you, you hit the floor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll start keeping a log of all your foibles. We'll go toe-to-toe. All right. Anyways, John and Zach are fighting. Yep. We will be back tomorrow to cover minutes 96 through 97.
Yes.
All right, cool. See you then.
See you later.